You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who believes a penny saved isn't jack sh**, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, welcome back. This is Nightlight, folks. Act two is just getting underway. Great to have you with me. We've got a really fun show tonight. Got a great question, a couple really solid guests, and we're talking movies. Our question of the night is, in honor of National Game Show Day, what is your favorite game show? I would say Jeopardy is winning so far, but you can go as abstract as you want with this, folks. We talked about Sidney Sweeney's bar soap, Conrad. He ordered a case.
A 30-pack.
A 30-pack, he's already, it hasn't even arrived yet, and he's already gone through it. I don't even know how that's possible, but he's very excited to get his Sidney Sweeney bar soap. And we're talking right now with my guest, Austin Galante. He is that's a cool name, by the way. How'd you swing that? Is that your birth name?
No.
Oh, sweet. See, I maybe should have changed mine. Peach Schwaba, it's hard. Conrad, what do people think my name is?
Peach Cobbler.
Yeah, terrible. Austin Galante, that has some like, that's got some panache. How'd you settle on that?
Like 20 years ago, I was trying to figure out what my stage name was going to be, and I was walking behind a Mitsubishi Galant. I was like, you know, if you add an E to that, it would sound.
Oh, I like that.
Sound nice.
And so, Austin's a good name too.
There it is.
Tell me about, you have a production company called Marshmallow Napalm. Where's that name come from? It's kind of cool.
You know, like sitting around the campfire and getting hot marshmallow on. It's just like napalm.
So, the true story behind that, it sounds like.
Yeah. So,
so you've got, you know, let me ask you this. I've seen some of the budgets on the films you work with, and some of them are small. I don't know what all the budgets are, and I wouldn't ask you because that's kind of a personal question for independent filmmakers, but what's the biggest challenge you face when you're making these movies? You've got all these actors, and you said you made, I think you said you made a feature film before for $3,000, like your first one, which is common. A lot of people breaking in their first film. How do you pull that off? Is it all favors, or how do you do that?
It was just really pared down. There wasn't like, you know, a lot
it's
of
just you talking at lot. The camera.
Yeah, I mean, so I've spent a lot of time learning how to do everything myself. So,
right.
You know, I can edit it. I can do, some visual effects, and I can color grade, color.
Wow.
The film, and I'm also, you know, I make music, so I can score the movie, and you know, I know how to run a camera. I know how to run sound. I know. So, you know, like I can get away with doing a really pared down crew. Like the first movie had two guys, Mitch Munster and myself as the crew. And then wow. There were like four other actors plus myself. I have a small part in it, but,
okay.
So it's just about, you know, I spent, you know, 20 years learning how to do stuff.
Right. Well, good for you. You mentioned music. That's your background. You've worked with Snoop Dogg. You've worked with CeeLo Green. Those are the two names that stood out to me. Maybe there are even bigger heavy hitters that I don't know about that are in your resume. But how did you go from, what did you do in the music industry and how did it bring you to movies?
Well, I was in a band for a really long time and we played a lot of shows and it was sort of a rap punk type band, but we had songs that had different feels to them. So we played with a lot of rap groups over the years. I mean, I probably played with, I don't know, 20 or 30 famous like people everybody's
wow, nice.
Heard of, you know. And then we also got to do a bunch of dates on the Warped Tour and met a bunch of people that way. So, you know, just like every situation is different. You know, I've recorded with some people in my living room and then some people just send, you know, send the vocals to the track. And in other cases, it's just buying a verse or whatever. So
you had a song. I don't know if it was Austin's movie, by the way, is called Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. It opens June 7th at Sun Prairie. The premiere is in Sun Prairie on June 7th at Marcus Theaters. Can anybody go to that, or you have to be invited, or what's the deal?
Yeah, you can buy tickets on tickpick.com, okay. And you can search Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, or you can go to marshmallownapalm.com, and there's a link at the top of that page.
Tickets available?
Yeah, tickets are like $11, and there's still probably around, 40 tickets, something like that.
Nice, left, so. Okay. Well, it sounds like you had a good turnout. That's great. All right, so... You have, I think it was a credit on, was it on this film? But you were credited as writing a song with Snoop Dogg. How'd that happen?
Well, that was just reaching out and buying a verse. I didn't get to meet him or anything.
Oh, okay. So, but, I pictured you guys like huddled over, you know, at a coffee shop, right? In the soccer. But, you have a credit with Snoop Dogg. That's cool. Like, yeah. You guys collaborated sort of, right?
Yeah. And, you know, like. Each situation is different. Like we did a song with Slim Cattray. I don't know if you remember Far Side. Well, it was like a group, I don't know, 20 years ago, they were really big, but he just like came to my living room and recorded.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, William Elliot Whitmore, I guess maybe you've heard. Okay.
No.
CeeLo, we played a show with him, and then, you know, we hung out with him for a while at a bar and ended up talking, and, he sent his verse, you know, over the internet. And
when was this? Was this post Forget You, for lack of a better? The song is the F word.
That
I can't
was
say it, but...
like the same year, but wow. Right before it released. So we got super lucky.
Was he cool?
I mean, yeah, he's a nice enough guy, I guess. Like, you know, he's just like chill, right? You know, like a lot of famous people are just like chill.
That's like one of my favorite songs ever.
Or trying to be cool. I don't know, whatever it is.
Yeah. You should tell people you wrote the video or you directed the video. What are there similarities in what you do? Like when you say you were in bands, what's more of a grind? Trying to make it as a musician or making an independent film?
I don't know. They're both quite difficult without lots of money.
Yeah, right.
I mean, what is it they say, like $500,000 is what it takes to break a single?
Really?
Yeah, between $500,000 and $1 million. So, you know, most songs that you hear that are on the radio on repeat, someone
at least $500,000
spent that much money getting them all across the country, their song on all these stations and sending them around to, you know, do whatever interviews and blah, blah, blah. It's expensive, right? Like, gotta fly there.
My guest is Austin Galante. His film is Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road. It opens June 7th in Sun Prairie is the premiere. There's still about 40 tickets left. You can check it out. It's June 7th in Sun Prairie at Marcus Theaters. You have another project coming out you told me about, but this is even lower budget. So what's the next story about?
It's called What Have We Won, and it is about two like kind of idiots who are, you know, just kind of struggling in life, and then they do some stuff, they end up winning the lottery, and they move to Montana to pan for gold. And they just sort of like move out there with the camper, and kind of this the movie takes place at approximately the course of a couple weeks, but they're out there for about a week. And they're kind of like sort of living off the land until they decide what they're going to do as far as house and so forth. And it's just kind of about the trouble that follows them, even though they tried to get away from their troubles. And I don't know. It's another comedy. Robert Lissardo's in it. Matthew Kenner's in it. Douglas Montoya's in it. They're also in Sanguine Teeth on a Driftless Road, which is the movie that comes out or, you know, the premiere is for. Sanguine Teeth has a few people in it. Charlie Mack just won the golden ticket on Kill Tony. So he is a very funny dude. You should check him out.
Okay. I'm checking him out right now on IMDb Pro. That's great.
And Jason Horton is a horror movie director who just released the movie A Hard Place, which is making a lot of noise. And it's a... I think he's sort of championing the like 80s B movie horror vibe, slasher vibe with it. So, yeah, he's in it. We have a scene that's pretty funny.
Awesome. Do you have, I noticed on your IMDb page, you know, and actors do this on the resumes, they list all the talents they have, and you have whistling. And now hold on. A lot of people would go, really? I can't even tell you how many resumes I've seen, whether I was casting something or I saw friends where people put whistling. What is that? When does that ever come into play that you know of in movies? I suppose it would, but
I think I've done at least 3 auditions where I had to whistle. Okay. Where they wanted someone who could whistle.
That is so funny. And is it like you put your fingers in and you do the really loud one, or just basic whistling?
One, they wanted someone to like whistle really high and do something. And then another one that's like some tune or something that I don't remember exactly.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, we got a couple more minutes. You have got this great vampire movie coming out. Sanguine Teeth has 4 vampires. What are your favorite, do you have favorite vampire movies or a movie that you saw when you were younger where you're like, that's the kind of movie I want to make?
You got me on a gotcha question right there.
Oh, no, that was not my intention.
I don't know off the top of my head what my favorite vampire movie would be.
Did you see Nosferatu last fall? Or I know you said you hadn't seen Sinners yet. But it seems like they're kind of making a comeback.
I started to watch it, and then I wanted to watch it at a different time. So I haven't watched it yet. Favorite vampire. Come back to me on that one.
Yeah, we'll do.
Let me think about it for just, you know, like a minute.
Sure. All right. So what are you binge watching? Most guests I ask what they're watching. Are you binge watching anything on TV right now or something you could recommend?
I did just watch Sirens. It was kind of interesting. It was kind of, I don't know.
That's a newer show, right? The movie from the,
It was a show, but you know, I watched it this weekend or week, whatever.
Okay.
Let's see.
Well, take your time. Think about it. I don't mean to. Last thing I want to do is have a gotcha moment.
You got
with the
me.
Conrad saw Hacks, and you finished the whole season. You're caught up, right, Con?
Yeah. I finished it this past weekend. And
thumbs up.
It was a great season. It had all types of twists on it. The ending, you're like, what? It's a crazy ending to the show. I can't wait to see the next one. Next season.
That's so cool. I finished Mobland last night. 10 episodes, Tom Hardy, Pierce Brosnan, and Helen Mirren. And it's not reinventing the wheel or anything, but it's well done for what it is. Guy Ritchie is one of the executive producers, and I recommend that. But what I've seen of Hacks, I really like too. On the stream, our question for the night is, what is your favorite game show? PJ on the stream says, there once was a game show on Xbox by Microsoft called One Versus 100. It was a trivia game. I don't remember that. Thank you, PJ. And then Dave also says, Barney's Clubhouse Pow. I know that, but I can't place where that was. Keep those texts coming, folks. Austin Galante, thank you so much. Best of luck with the film. I hope the premiere kicks butt and you have a line around the door, my friend.
Yeah, me too.
Be careful going back to Sun Prairie. You got to go through the east side. That's a tough part of town. All right.
Yeah.
We're coming right back, folks, for some movie talk and some UW Cinema Tech talk with our pal Ben Reiser. That's coming up next on Nightlight after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. We're doing Monday the way it's supposed to be done on State Street in Madison. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm waiting just for you.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, folks. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am your host for this evening's festivities, Pete Schwabba. And our question of the night is, what is your favorite game show? It is National game show day. So let us know. And I also need to tell you all about this really cool contest we have here at Civic Media. It's our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. All you need to do is have the Civic Media app. It's that easy. We give a keyword at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. You text in that keyword, and you are eligible for the hourly prizes of $100 in cash or a pair of Milwaukee Brewers Club level tickets. Now, every time you enter in the hour for the hour prizes, you are automatically enrolled in the two grand prize trips. Conrad, tell people where the grand prize trips are, would you?
Yeah, they're in Baraboo and in Door County. How about that?
Holy mackerel.
How about that? Two very beautiful places in our state. So best case scenario, you win $100 and Brewers tickets and a grand prize. It all happens here at Civic Media during our Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. We've had so much fun with these. We hope you guys will be a part of it. And today's the first day. It goes through Friday, June 13th, and you have four daily chances to enter. So good luck, everybody. I hope you come home with all kinds of prizes. That would be a lot of fun. Right now, joining me on the show, another in-studio guest. This is so much fun. One of my favorite people in Madison. All right, anywhere. I don't just keep it to the city limits. Ben Reiser, folks. He is the programmer at UW Cinematheque here in Madison, which is an outstanding program. We'll talk about that. And he works for the Wisconsin Film Festival, too. Ben, welcome.
Boy, oh, boy. That's quite an intro. Even after the grief I gave you late night during the festival.
Oh, man, you were on me.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know what got into you. That was unlike you.
It was a bad edible or something.
Listen, I think you were sticking up for a friend of yours.
Yeah.
And I didn't. The only thing that got me is you said, did you just not do your homework? And that got under my. We almost had to take it outside because this is a friend of yours. So I only hope you would defend me.
This is international rock star Scott Lucas. Never mind a friend of mine.
But
again, you're belittling this man.
No, I'm not at all. I think Scott is outstanding, and I've since listened to some of his songs. I can't remember any of them, but no, I'm kidding. But he's a big time, but you're a music guy.
Yeah, look, I'm wearing a very obscure band t-shirt, the English Beat. Remember them from the 80s?
I do. I love the English Beat. And every time you bring up Scott's name, I end up somehow in trouble. And I don't know what you kind of racket you're running here, but
I know.
I
keep trying to get us to a place where I am the heel that I feel like I have been during this whole situation, but somehow you're not navigating this correctly.
If I had just met you, I would have been like, what's that guy's problem? But I've known you long enough where I know you didn't mean anything about it. So yeah. It's great to have you here.
I figure like after midnight on a festival night, anything goes.
Yeah. We were hanging out. It was a fun party. Hey, give us a recap for this year's Wisconsin Film Festival. Another blast.
It was
great movies.
Yeah, it was crazy, insanely successful. I mean, it's always great. There's always great movies.
Yeah.
Great hang with you and all the other visiting filmmakers. But this year, I mean, it's been a long time since we had more than three or four sold out films during the course of the festival. This year, I think we had close to 40 sold out screenings.
Whoa.
It was insane.
I went to, I go to as many movies as I can when I'm not introducing a film. And everyone I went to was, like for that Rolling Stones film, the title I can't say.
Yeah.
I was literally up next to the projection booth at the Barrymore, like at the top.
And it was probably still making your eardrums bleed with that loud. I mean, that was loud. That was ridiculously loud.
It was loud, but it was worth it because there were people getting up and dancing and it was really fun. you guys always do a great job, but yeah, so another success. That's exciting.
It was great. I couldn't be any happier. And you were a key part of that success.
Wow, you're too kind. What, even though I almost took it back to your buddy, and I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to get sucked in. What, when do you guys start working on the next one already? Like, you've got, 10 months now or whatever. When does that start?
Well, I've already been in contact with all the venues to give them our dates for next year, so we're already in it.
Okay. Wow. And when does it really heat up? Like, when is it like Ben doesn't sleep
like
much?
The day before the festival? No. It'll heat up in September when the submissions start coming in again. We open up our submission windows at the beginning of September for all the Wisconsin Zone films. And Jim and Mike are going to be going to the Toronto International Film Festival in September. So that's, we kind of take the summer off as much as we possibly can. We're also all busy starting the end of this month with Cinematheque for six weeks this summer. So we've got that to contend with.
So, all right. It's funny because I like that screening room a lot at Cinematheque, and I've seen when you guys advertise.
Well, you must not sit there. You must just stand in the back because those seats are not comfortable. I'm the first one to tell you. I wish we had nicer seats.
It's just something about the experience of being there and of that building, which is old.
Yeah.
And whatever it is, and it takes me back to the 70s. I feel like all the butts that sat in those seats, I just think it's kind of a cool experience, even though the seats might not be the most comfortable. But for people who live in Madison and haven't ever been there, what can you tell them about it? And especially how much it cost to get in, because I thought that was great.
Well, it's free.
Yeah.
And if you email me, I'll send you directions, because it's not the easiest room to find on campus. It's one of these brutalist buildings where, really brutal. You can't find the place. There's not a street level entrance to the entire building, as you may know. You have to climb up a ramp. You have to find the right elevator. So there's that, but it's great. It's fantastic. And people are onto The Secret these days. The last couple of years of Cinematheque have really been, again, I hate to keep using the word, but very successful.
Yeah.
You know, we regularly turn people away at the door.
And you guys show classics?
We show classics and premieres. During the school year, we're showing premieres on Thursday nights, and then we have our classics from the entire history of film on Fridays and Saturdays. Now, during the summer, we like to keep our weekends free, as I think most people do, so we do Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. So
that's awesome. All right, we're going to talk more about the schedule, what you can see at Cinematheque this summer if you take advantage of this amazing film-watching experience, and then Ben and I will talk about movies. I love Sinners. He didn't love it. I can't wait. It's Pete Schwabe. The news is coming up next, and we're coming back to talk movies and Cinematheque on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Problem building towers for side.
Welcome back. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. We are broadcasting live from State Street at our Madison studios. Conrad is holding down. He's not holding back the fort. He's holding down the fort and doing it without wearing pants, which makes his job, all the more, whatever it is. I don't know.
One of these days I'm going to come up and do in studio in Green Bay hang out with Conrad. I never get to see this dude.
Conrad, show yourself on the screen for people listening. Look at that. There he is.
Nice.
Just a mountain of muscle, that guy.
It was helpful to actually watch you now, because I got to see you do the 2-minute signal.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'm not going to launch into one of my typical long stories. It has to be cut off halfway through. So I appreciate it.
Our question is, what is your favorite game show? Annie from Watertown says, oh my, Howard Gurnett and wife Rosemary, Dialing for Dollars. There's another one for Dialing for Dollars. Milwaukee Channel 12. At noon, as I remember, was he their weatherman? I don't know, Annie. I don't know that show. I was not around in Milwaukee then. She said in the 1960s. I wasn't even here yet. Ben, you're in your really late 20s, right?
Like
excruciatingly late
triple, 20s. They call it triple 20s, I think.
Annie says, Janis Joplin's Mercedes-Benz, second verse, oh Lord, won't you buy me a colored TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I'll wait for delivery each day until 3. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Boy, looks like I really missed out on this game show. Thank you, Annie. Ben Reiser is here, folks. He is the programmer of UW Cinematheque here in Madison. It's free. Your sound is state-of-the-art. The screen is great, right? I mean, you talk about the seats not being that comfortable. They're not that bad, though.
I don't know why I said that. I'm always saying stuff that really
keeps people
goes
away.
Against what I'm trying to promote at any given moment.
Oh, we show terrible films.
Come
too,
to the
Pete.
Festival and I'll get into a fight with you late night. Come to our Cinematheque. You won't be able to sit through the movie. It's so uncomfortable.
Ben's a prince of a guy. It's good to have you here in the studio, buddy. How long does it take you to get here from Casa de Reiser?
10 minutes.
Not bad.
Everything's 10 minutes away in Madison, isn't it?
The last time I stayed here, I was out in the western burbs.
Oh, yeah.
It might have been technically Madison, but I ate at this Indian place. Oh my God, was it good?
Wait a minute. Was it Fitchburg? Was it the one that's in a hotel? Because there's this new weird Indian fusion place that's Indian plus Italian. So they make like a chicken tiki masala pizza.
Oh, nice.
Oh, but I think you might be talking about all the way on the west side, like off of Mineral Point Road, there's an Indian place that we've been to twice. Very like authentic.
Oh, yeah.
But in like an old Chinese restaurant takeout spot. like right next to like a Home Depot or a Petco or something like that.
That's not it either. If you said it, I would know it. It's by the there's a conference center and there's a and the Starbucks there. And I talked about this last time I was here. I went to the Starbucks twice and they tipped, they checked no thank you on the tip for me.
Wow.
And I, that made me want to tip them. Yeah. Like, you know, because I get.
What's up with that? Why would they do that? That's like me.
I don't like getting shaken
down.
No,
don't come to my movies. What's the matter with
that? All right, Ben is here. We have to talk. Tell us about Cinematheque. What is coming up this summer you're excited about? You got this cool summer program. What's happening?
Well, we're showing us some Gene Hackman movies because he died.
Yeah.
Terrible. Is that, have you ever heard a worse death story than Gene Hackman and his wife?
The only thing that would have made it worse is if he was like in his 50s. I mean, he had a great run, but yeah, it's still a terrible way to go.
Right. Oh, I don't even want to think about it. Anyway, we're honoring Gene Hackman with so hopefully some movies that are more entertaining than the way he died. We're going to show one of my favorite Gene Hackman movies, which is not The French Connection, but The French Connection 2.
Yeah.
Where Popeye Doyle goes to Marseille to pursue the guy he sort of lets slip through his fingers at the end of The French Connection. Love that movie. What else are we showing? We're showing a bunch of films by this French director who's made a million movies, Claude Lelouch. Maybe you've heard that name. He made a movie called A Man and a Woman back, I think, at the end of the 60s, which is sort of like an iconic French romantic comedy drama. And apparently he made a bunch of thrillers. So we're going to be showing, because it's summertime, everyone loves a nice thriller in the summer. So we've got some bank heist movies. Yeah, just a bunch of fun. In the summertime, we just sort of say, what's going to be fun for people to come hang out? And, you know, there's only so many times you can see Mission Impossible, the final chapter. So you got to have some popcorn movies, even at Cinematheque.
Absolutely. I love a good heist movie. As far as I'm concerned, there's not enough out there to keep me, like, I would watch a heist movie every night if, you know.
Right. Well, have you and I talked about Dragged Across Concrete?
You mentioned it. I have not seen that. Tell me about that.
That's a great heist movie. I don't need to tell you anything else. Mel Gibson, bank heist, incroyable, as they would say in France with Claude Lelouch. Dragged Across Concrete. And the guy is the filmmaker. Maybe you've seen some of his other films. I'm spacing out on his name, but he made this great crazy Western with Kurt Russell called Bone Tomahawk. You seen that one?
No, I've heard of it. I have not seen it.
And he made one with Vince Vaughn called Brawl in Cell Block 99.
I think I saw that.
That's a nasty one. But yeah.
Same filmmaker?
Those are his three films.
Okay.
I think right before the pandemic, we were planning on showing all three of them and bringing him here. And I think we still hope to do that. But I think he's shooting another film now, so maybe we'll wait for his next movie to come out. But Dragged Across Concrete. Fantastic.
Mel Gibson.
Heist movie, yeah.
Crazy Mel Gibson. What year is that from?
That's a good question.
I'm probably going to watch that tonight, to be honest with you.
I want to say that was like 2018 maybe, okay. Or 2019.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, then the pandemic killed everything.
No kidding. All right, we have to get into this, Ben, because I love, you know, inevitably, you always, when you come on here, you always
say the wrong thing.
No. You say your opinion. And I love, like, you, and the last couple times you've taken a side that was not, was kind of the antithesis of what everybody else felt. So
I don't mean to do that, but apparently I do. I spent 2 hours talking about Star Trek, the motion picture today on a podcast that I do called 70 Movies We Saw in the 70s. And that was the one Star Trek movie that was 1979. And most people think Wrath of Khan, which is the second Star Trek movie, and then whatever the fourth one is, those are the good ones. I like 1, 3, and 5. And when I say that to Star Trek peoples, otherwise known as Trekkies, although that apparently that's you're not supposed to say that word.
It's politically incorrect now.
people look at me like I'm out of my mind, but I don't know. I like the original Star Trek. It's long and slow and boring, but it's kind of cinematic in a way that the other ones aren't, because I think they realize nobody wants to see a sort of a 2001 or, you know, fancy Russian Solaris version of Star Trek. They want to see, you know, Kirk bare-chested and fighting it out with some alien. And so that's what they did with Wrath of Khan. But this one, the first one, anyway, blah, 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 blah. Yes, I sometimes have an unpopular opinion. I don't mean to be that way.
Well, you like what
I don't.
You like,
I don't cultivate
right?
that, right?
Yeah.
So you want to talk about sinners? Is that right?
Yeah, I know you're not just being, you know, contrarian for the sake of it.
Thank
but
you. That's the word
you've got to be.
Come up with, but yeah,
you have your own opinion. So you did not, and you didn't sound like you hated it, but you
oh
had,
no, I pretty much hated.
You hated sinners. Oh, please elaborate.
Well, I'm a Ryan Coogler guy. Okay. I like his other movies. I think the first two Creed movies and even the one he didn't direct, the last one, I love those Creed movies. They're certainly better than the last three Rocky movies. And, you know, Black Panther, great. Fruitvale Station, great. This one should have been right up my alley. I'm a horror guy. You tell me you're going to have a vampire movie, you're going to have, you know, great acting, all that stuff. I just didn't buy a single second of it. And really? I think the movie, among other things, is really trying to be this sort of authentic vision of what things were like back in those days in that neck of the woods, especially musically.
Yeah.
But I didn't like a single note of music that is either on the soundtrack or actually being played in the movie. I just thought it was inauthentic. Like, they had this, I don't know, German or Swiss guy composed the soundtrack for that movie. And he's doing all these kind of like weird European sounding blues riffs on the thing. I'm like, why is this? Why wasn't this movie, you know, scored by, I don't know, Two Live Crew or Public Enemy or anybody from the, any African-American recording artist of the last 50 years. If they had done that, I probably would have liked it a lot more. But I also thought it wasn't a good vampire movie. Like, it wasn't scary. I didn't understand the rules of it. I feel like it was a horror movie made by people who aren't really into horror movies. Maybe for people who don't really like horror movies. Because I was amazed at how many people love this movie. And I'm like, well, maybe because it's not really scary and it's really just, I guess, trying to make a statement. But I feel like that's a statement that's been made plenty of other times in plenty of better movies.
Wow. Okay. I just feel like it was, I liked the music. You did a deep dive there. That's like serious inside baseball.
I know, but it shouldn't music be. Guy. Come on, man. You got a guy named Ludwig Göransson who's doing blues riffs for this movie. Come on.
I thought it was, I kind of agree with you about the vampire stuff. I don't agree with you, but I feel like it took a long time to get to. In fact, I feel like that opening scene, there was probably a studio note that says there's no vampires for an hour and 15 minutes. Yeah. So they put that in so we know what's coming. But
it's a good opening.
It's a good opening.
That's the thing. I came to love this movie. I wanted to love it.
Were your expectations too high?
I don't think so. I try to come in with no expectations, but if I'm honest with myself, I'm like, this is going to be good.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see this. The previews were all good. That first scene is good. It grabs you. And then it just was sort of like this steady sort of like, okay, I guess this movie's never really going to take off.
Interesting. What did you think about the, I liked the movie when I thought it was done. And then the credits started. And that last scene did it for me. I loved it because of that last scene. You did not like that last scene, right?
No. It's fun, but it was too little too late for me.
Okay. Gotcha.
The last scene is fine.
You have to stay through the credits, folks. If you're listening, you have to. I don't know why they did that, but.
By the way,
yeah.
Let me say the opposite about another movie that I know you saw and I saw and I really liked a lot, Warfare.
All right, we'll talk about that too. Ben Reiser's here.
He I didn't did even not see like Conrad sense. Signal anything.
No, he didn't signal. I have to reset, they call it in radio.
Oh, okay.
Ben Reiser's here. He's one of the programmers. He's the programmer of UW Cinematheque. Not to say he won't take notes from people, but and he works for the Milwaukee. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'm not the programmer for Cinematheque. I'm one of three programmers.
One of three.
Jim Healy's the main dude.
And he's a big shot with the Wisconsin Film Festival.
Yeah, that's
too.
True.
And we get together and talk movies every once in a while. He did not like Sinners. I liked Sinners.
Conrad, what'd you think?
He didn't see it.
I didn't see it yet.
That's my man.
He doesn't even have pants on tonight.
I think he never leaves that chair.
He doesn't.
I saw Karate Kid Legends, so I did leave it.
How's that?
It was all right. Nothing special.
Well, what were you? Why were you excited to go run and see that?
I like Cobra Kai.
Were you a big Cobra Kai?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And I like the first three Karate Kids. And the fourth one didn't happen, so.
Right.
Well, you and I both saw War. That's okay. You and I both saw Warfare. I thought it was the best war movie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I didn't...
Except.
Yeah, and I kind of agree with you there. Not until you said it, though. So tip of my hat to you, because I was like, it was a little cheesy. And I it's cool that you get to see them, but I thought they could have done that with still photos or something. Mm-hmm. They didn't need to have this, hey, we're just a bunch of wacky guys.
No, and they also made what feels like the most authentic war movie of all time.
Awesome.
I don't need proof that these were actual guys.
That's a great point.
You're taking me out of the reality of your movie, which was amazing.
And it really, to me, Ben, I left that movie going, you want to support the troops, don't send them into, like, you see these guys that are all Navy SEALs, they're specialists, they're highly trained. Well, when that bomb goes off, they're all concussed, and they can't, you see what hell it actually is from a guy who lived it and isn't just shooting things and exaggerating. You know, I thought it was amazing. But I do agree with you on the credit sequence there. Should we talk Mission Impossible? All right, we're going to wrap up here. For now, we're doing a very short break. Then we're going to get Ben's opinion on Mission Impossible, the latest. And
I've got one.
Supposedly. I bet you do. Ben Reiser's here, folks. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Easy to trap.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I'm Peach Wabba. Tomorrow night, I will be back in Green Bay. And we will have Rob Thomas on, David Grant. Yeah, Madison film critic Rob Thomas, the always entertaining Rob Thomas. David Grant, Civic Media's own David Grant, will report from the circus parade. Is that still on, Con?
Yeah, he's going to be at the parade, in which is, I believe, the following week.
Baraboo.
And he's going to, tell us a little bit about what's going
on. Okay.
Yeah.
I love a parade. And then paranormal investigator Todd Michaels, Civic Media's own. That'll be fun. That's all tomorrow night on Nightlight, folks. We've got a couple texts we got to get through here. Steady Eddie texted us back. This is a double feature, Steady Eddie. Pete, Dialing for Dollars is in the lyrics of the a cappella Janis Joplin song, Mercedes-Benz. Oh, that's what I knew. I heard that song. I didn't know what he says. Oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Did I read this, Conrad?
Yes.
Yep. No, but it was Anna sent the same.
Oh, no. Yeah. So it's the same, but
he's just
they're
explaining
saying the same
it
thing.
You?
Yeah. And Eddie says, oh, Lord, won't you buy me a color TV, Dialing for Dollars? Are they a couple? Are Anna and Steady Eddie in cahoots? Steady Eddie says, Pete, you might want to think about trading in your black and white plasma for one of them newfangled color televisions. I'm not sure, but I think they might be here to stay. Steady Eddie, well done, sir. I talk about color television every night. Bridget in the 818 says $100,000 pyramid is the best. The Winner's Circle is so exciting. Forgot that one too. Did you ever watch that, Ben?
Which one?
$100,000 pyramid.
Oh yeah,
I remember it, but I don't.
Dick Clark, I think, was the host.
Was it Dick Clark? Dickie C. Ben Reiser is here. We've got a few more minutes with my guest, Ben Reiser. He has been nice enough to come into the studio here tonight when we broadcast from Madison, and we're talking about movies. We talked about Sinners, Warfare. He gave us an update on what is coming up at UW Cinematheque here at Vilas Hall, which is free. They've got great films coming up this summer. If people wanted to see like a lineup, go to the interwebs.
Yeah, cinema.wisc.edu.
There you go. And they're all free, and it's fantastic. Hold on, Ben.
I don't know if they're all fantastic, but most of them are pretty good.
Yeah. You guys don't book
Listen, we like to show a lot of different things. Not everything's going to appeal to everybody.
Are you going to buy Sydney Sweeney bath soap? Have you heard about this?
Oh, is it used?
Well, it's her bath water.
Oh, it's her bath
water. It's the essence of her bath water in a new soap called Bathwater Bliss. It's $8 a bar. Okay. A perfect combination of the two best places on the planet, the outdoors and Sydney Sweeney's bathtub. Experience the ultimate blend of outdoor serenity with refreshing notes of pine, Douglas fir, earthy moss, and a touch of Sydney's very own bathwater.
Well, you know when that Gwyneth Paltrow made a candle, I can't even tell you the rest of the sentence. Yeah.
And that's weird, too. She's strange to me. She's very full of herself.
I think Sydney Sweeney's right up there with her in the strange.
Or this is genius because she knows there's a whole bunch of creepy dudes out there that
Yeah, I mean, you know, celebrities looking for more money just used to sell like their used panties, and I don't know, now they've moved into a whole other. Yeah,
yeah. Jeez, what do you
got? Bathwater. Oh my goodness.
All right, I have to, before we get out of here, I have to ask you.
Or doesn't that happen in that movie that came out last year with the guy told Saltburn. Everyone he's an addict? Yeah, Saltburn.
Yeah. Right. And that's Jacob Elordi's bathwater.
There you go. He needs to put out his own bathwater.
I don't know. I don't think women are buying either. But maybe. I think
but
it's
there's
all
plenty
dudes.
Of men who would buy Jacob Elordi.
I know. And Sydney Sweeney. It's like the guys have all the creep factor.
Yeah. Are they both on that Euphoria show? I think they are.
Yeah, they are. Right.
I know Sydney Sweeney is.
Hey, yeah. Conrad.
He watched. Conrad has them all on.
I watched like three episodes and I did not like it. But yeah, they're both in it.
Yeah.
Okay. MI8, The Final Reckoning. Thoughts?
Sure. I thought it was good. I'm a sucker for all the Mission Impossible movies. Maybe the John Woo one was the one that I was like,
is that the second
this
one?
Is no good. Yeah.
It's terrible. The first one was just okay too.
Oh, right? No. I love the first one. Brian De Palma can do no wrong. I think he's a genius. Having said that, these last four that Christopher McQuarrie made are great. But I the reason I'm hesitating to say anything too complainy about this last one is because I don't think I really loved the first part of this one, Dead Reckoning, until like the third time I watched it.
And now you do.
I loved it.
You've seen that movie three times?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
And I liked it the first time. I really liked it the second time. And then getting ready for this new one, my son and I watched it. And I was like, this is great. What was I ever complaining about? And so I might get to that with this one. But based on my first viewing, which was an IMAX, which is always nice.
Oh, yeah.
The first hour is deadly. And then there's stuff that happens for the rest of it that is like, what? There's too many nagging questions for me. Okay. Too many things where I'm like, I feel like they didn't remember that they needed to clear up this plot point, or they didn't.
With the rabbit's foot, maybe?
Well, I don't know anything about the rabbit's foot, but there's something that goes on with a parachute. There's something that goes on.
Yeah, he has another parachute.
Yeah, but who knew? And you never see him pull it or what?
I thought maybe he would die, and it was the last one. Well, they do like a Bond thing. And...
Right. I mean, what I really thought, and maybe they didn't do this because maybe this exact thing happened in a James Bond movie, I thought he was going to get the other guy who has fallen out
parachute.
Of the, and grab his parachute.
Right.
And I was like, when's that going to happen? And then it didn't happen. I was like, oh, man, what a wasted opportunity.
Yeah, I didn't get that either, but I have very few complaints. Even the recap, I know some people had an issue with that. Kind of feel like you needed it a little.
Well, I didn't because I just watched Dead Reckoning, but I was annoyed. I was like, I don't need flashbacks. You know, I hope when it goes to streaming or whatever, they pull that stuff out. I don't need that. It's fine if they want to talk about it. I don't need to see the actual footage.
Right.
I hate that. Whenever they do that in a movie, it annoys me.
Fair enough. Ben, this was fun. I think you should give Sinners another watch and come around.
I'm sure I will.
I would like to thank all of you for being here tonight, folks. This was fun. Always fun to be in Madison doing the show. Thank you to Ben Reiser. Thank you to Austin Galante, the guy with the cool name. Check out his film, The Sanguine. I got to pull it up again. I keep... all right. The Sanguine... Conrad, help me.
The Sanguine Teeth of...
Teeth on a Driftless Road.
Yes, yes.
There you go. Check it out. Thank you for all your texts. And all your calls, folks. Have a great night. We'll be back to do it all again tomorrow. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying good night, Wisconsin.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.